Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. Episode 13 for February 13th, 2007. Jimmy Wales. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. Good evening. It is 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 0200 Greenwich Mean Time, and it's time for Net at Night from California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Toronto, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
And we're back after a little week off. Did you enjoy having a break, Amber?
No, not really, Leo. I had too many things to talk about, and I had to wait 2 weeks to talk about them. So.
Yes, I love hearing that.
I know. You know, and I feel like it's been forever since we've done the show, so I like the routine of every week, so hopefully we don't take too many weeks off again.
2 weeks seems like a long time, doesn't it?
It really does.
Of course, I was doing a lot of traveling. I didn't end up going on the cruise. I came back early. Take care of a family crisis, but everything's fine, by the way. Nobody's hurt. I was gone to New York, and you know, it seems like a lot's happened. And of course, in the last 2 weeks, we've been working on the new radio show. The syndication went through just before I left, and I actually today, Sunday, as we record this, did my last KFI radio show. So,
oh wow,
yeah.
And Leo, I was speaking to John Donaby because I think you know that I filled in for you on CFRB, and he was mentioning that someone has picked up your radio show in Canada already.
I hadn't heard that.
Oh, okay. I hope I'm not revealing too much.
Oh no, that's wonderful. I hope that's true.
Yeah, I heard that they're picking up. I heard it might be national. I don't know if I should be saying this right now, but I just did. So this is it's a rumor that I heard.
Well, I hope it's true. You know more than I do. If it is true. One of the things, you know, what happened is I was working for a local station in Los Angeles, KFI, and they are owned by Clear Channel, which also happens to own Premier Radio Networks, the biggest syndicator in the U.S., and they syndicate Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Laura, Dean Adele, just everything. And I've been trying to get this show syndicated for 15 years. So that finally, you know, with the help of KFI, big time, we were able to do that. And so I don't know, you know, when I was in New York, I met with them. They're great. They have a full, you know, sales force going out talking to stations. So I don't know what the lineup will be when we launch. I know it's at least San Antonio, WOAI, and Tampa, WFLA, Houston, of course, Los Angeles, KFI. I'm pretty sure we'll have a San Francisco station, and there may be many more. They're talking to XM. So it might be on satellite. There is a Clear Channel station on XM. Maybe that's what John's talking about. It might be on satellite in Canada. I don't know.
Oh, that's possible. Yeah, that's definitely possible.
So,
but anyway, it'd be great. I mean, to have you on nationally in Canada would be fantastic.
It would make me really happy.
And you're practically Canadian, so.
Oh, I feel totally Canadian. So. Hey, we've got a great guest. I am so excited about our guest today.
Yeah, we have Jimmy Wales from Wikipedia, the founder of Wikipedia, who's coming on. And I posted a message on my blog today, and I had a bunch of people write what questions they want us to ask him. So it should be pretty exciting to have him on and get him to really talk about what's going on at Wikipedia these days. And we're getting some good guests, Leo. That's all I have to say.
I'm thrilled to have Jimmy on. And, you know, the timing is pretty good. I'm going to ask him about this because one of the, you know, Wikipedia is, you know, self-supporting. And you probably have noticed when you go to Wikipedia that they have, they're pretty much always running a fundraising drive. Not one right now, but one of the directors of Wikipedia said just the other day that unless they raised, you know, a certain amount of money, they're going to run out of money. So I want to ask Jimmy how that's doing. And he's also doing other stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing so many other things as well. It seems like he has a couple of different projects on the side that he's starting up. And so it'll be good to firsthand hear from him and see see what he's doing. And people are going to ask him some funny questions, and I'm going to be the person who actually ends up asking him. Good. It's interesting because I think Wikipedia has become so much part of our lives these days. I use it every single day, and it really has kind of replaced the idea of having an encyclopedia. It's the number one place I go to get information on people.
Than that, I think it's the kind of centralized information source that the internet was always going to be. But instead of being all over the place, Wikipedia has become, you're exactly right. That's where I go. When I want to know something, I was looking up quantum computing because that's big in the news right now. And of course the first place I go is Wikipedia, and I know and trust that that will be a reliable and an informative article there.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's interesting, too. I was talking to a friend of mine from work who said that he was reading about how Wikipedia has been used in some courtrooms as well. And So, you know, you really see it kind of run the gamut from being used in courtrooms to journalists using Wikipedia. And it's just amazing what they've done. Leo, I don't know if I'm too low, but I'm looking in the chat room and they say that I'm kind of whispering again, but...
Well, you're
not actually whispering.
Loud and clear to me, but
okay, good.
We'll work on it if we can. Hey, before we get to Jimmy, we'll do him in about 10 minutes and also take your calls to ask him questions. So get your questions for Jimmy Wales ready. You have some great links, and I don't want to short shrift you. It's been 2 weeks. Let's take a look at some of the great links that you've got.
There's so many. But first of all, the first thing I wanted to do was wish happy birthday to Darren Kitchen from Hack 5. Hack 5 is a great video podcast. Darren was on Call for Help, Leo. As I'm sure you remember, when we were doing the show together in Toronto, they used to drive up from Virginia, and today is his birthday. So
happy birthday, Darren. That's great.
Happy birthday to him.
Yeah.
Also, I got a link to this pretty funny song called It's Great to Be a Nerd by a Canadian band. And I think you have the MP3, and we might want to play a little bit of that. And I think it might resonate with some of our listeners.
Are you ready? We'll play a little bit of It's Great to Be a Nerd. It is. It's kind of, well, frankly, I don't know about you, but it's kind of my life story. And what's the name of this band?
Let me just look up the band right now. Yeah, I'll find it right now. If you want to just play it, then I'll look it up.
It's great to be a nerd, ladies and gentlemen.
It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd. The only light we ever see is from our monitor. We argue about comic books and internet connections. The biggest highlight of the year is the Star Trek convention.
Our crew wasn't big enough to sign up any stars. We went better retro who was favored by a board.
Ben! You do Mr. Sulu!
What?
It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd. Wearing Star Trek uniforms and talk like Captain Kirk.
We have our own heroes who we try to emulate. I dream of one day being as sexy as Bill Gates.
We hate watching sports because we're reading Carl Sagan. We watch the Olympics if they play Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm a hobbit!
It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd. Tolkien was a genius and Shakespeare was a turd.
We rarely get a date or get talked to by a girl unless they're having trouble with their algebra homework.
We're emotionally bereft and we're sexually frustrated. We can download photographs of ancient Scully naked.
It's great to be a nerd. It's great to be a nerd. No one truth is out there, but we'd have to leave our room.
I want to emphasize, by the way, that we are not nerds. We are geeks, okay?
There's a big difference.
Clear. I mean, we don't identify with these guys in any way.
Oh, not at all. And I want to say thanks to Bill Hardy who sent that to me. And the name of the band is The Arrogant Worms. They're a Canadian band. Bill Hardy is from Coquitlam, British Columbia. And he sent us a link to that thinking that we would enjoy it. And we do enjoy it, but you're right, Leo. We are geeks, not nerds. And there's a gigantic difference.
Although I do have a friend, works with my sister in Providence, who had a Hobbit party. And they they had all the Lord of the Rings movies on. They made Hobbit food in the fireplace. And I believe, I might be wrong, but I believe they put fur on their toes. I'm not sure about that part.
Wow.
Yeah. I have pictures.
As long as you didn't go to the party, you're still a geek, Leo.
Unfortunately, I wasn't still in town or I might have.
Leo, actually, while we're talking about parodies and hobbits, no, sorry, this has nothing to do with hobbits, but remember you asked people to create a parody blog about Leo Laporte?
Well, it turns out someone did.
Oh, yes, laportereport.blogspot.com, and it looks as though someone is impersonating you, Leo, and they have a blog up there.
Apparently, there's quite a few. Yeah.
There's quite a few, and this one is particularly funny. The one on Blogspot, I enjoy it quite.
Dane and I were looking at that. I think Dane was the one who found it. He's, this guy is penning a lot of effort I mean, he's posting more than I am.
Well, it's hilarious. This is my favorite paragraph. Amber will be at work right now, I suppose. What really annoys me is when I'm trying to work and someone calls onto Skype and calls me. I really hate that. Makes me feel real down. And last week, I did that to Amber. She's working late on a new show, and I feel so very, very bad because I get really annoyed.
How did they know this? This could be me. Maybe I'm writing this in the middle of the night, and I just don't know.
I think you might be. You and the hobbits are out there just pounding away in the keyboards.
How does this person know me so well?
I don't know, Leo, but I think it's hilarious, and it's interesting. So I'll keep my eyes out for any other parody blogs about you that pop up, just in case. I'm sure you'd like to stay informed.
There's quite a
few.
Are there any making fun of you?
No, Leo, and we don't need to have those.
We don't
want to
encourage that, do we?
No, we don't. I don't think we need to encourage that.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day? You have plans? You got a big date? You got anything coming up?
Why do you have to bring up the dating thing on the show?
Cool.
My mom's probably listening.
I'm so mean.
You are so mean. I don't have any big plans. You know, I'm hosting a tech show on Wednesday night, Homepage, which I'm filling in for David Onley on CP24.
Good.
And so, what a better way to spend Valentine's Day, you know, than
wait a minute now.
An hour geeking out.
Didn't you get auctioned off on Friday?
Whoa. Okay, I have to say, and I know we have lots of links to go through, but I was hosting a bachelor auction, bachelor and bachelorette, that was for a good cause for diabetes, and I wasn't to be auctioned off, but one of the cameramen from work came to cover it and shoot it and hooked up with the organizers and said, you know what, we have to auction Amber off.
You can't not auction Amber.
I know, so I got auctioned off the top of the show, kind of against my will, and now I'm going on a date in a limo to a restaurant near my house with some young random man in the audience that just looked like a blurry face to me
at
the time.
And how much did he bid for you?
He paid $400.
Wow!
Wow!
Is that the most?
No, there were other girls. It seems as though, the less amount of clothing that you're wearing, that's when the bids really went higher.
Okay.
Yes, you can see that. Not that, girls with skirts and dresses who kind of dance a little on stage. Like, I didn't really have the right approach.
I
know it wasn't nasty or anything, but
they're really
selling
themselves. And you didn't know that because you were the first. You didn't realize that you had to, douse yourself with water or something.
I just smiled nervously on stage. I'm fantastically good at that.
Hey, that's great. So you don't know this guy?
Not at all.
Oh. See, if Strombo had been there, maybe.
Whoa.
All right. Okay. Whoa. Okay. He's busy. He's working. He's not listening right now. He's got a job to do. 10 cool, funny, and sexy Valentine message generators.
I'm not speaking to you right now, so you can do this one on your own. We'll move on. This is from Steve in the UK, who I've said this before. He is the one who keeps me busy in my job because he's always sending me all these wonderful links. And this is a place, a site called makeuseof.com. And you can go there and they have some fun little message generators and you can send some Valentine's Day greetings that are a little more interesting than your average greetings. Some of them are a little risque, but for the most part, they're pretty fun. So that's good for anyone out there who forgets to send flowers on Valentine's Day.
And isn't like too creative on their own. So
yeah, that's the problem. So, and when we were talking in the pre-show, Leo, that's when you called me and I was playing one of the cards, which was this penguin skiing down a hill. And then you can write happy Valentine's Day or whatever message you want to write.
I'm not sure that it would be very romantic to send this yellow snow one though.
Oh, the one where they pee the message in the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really want to pick
that
one either.
If a guy sent you that, would you say, wow, that's really romantic?
Not at this time. Maybe in 5 or 6 years, I might change my tune on that.
It's kind of fun to do, though. I mean, it's. Have you tried it?
No, but what's it like,
Leo? Maybe it's a kind of a guy thing.
You tried it, right?
Yeah. It's really cool. You actually get to... Never mind. let's move on, shall we?
All right.
Some of these are very funny. There's the lingerie models who form alphabet. But, there's some fun stuff, which I think a guy would like if you sent this as a Valentine to a guy. So she's in. Oh, my. Maybe I'll close that window now.
Close the window.
Let's move on. YouTube has, speaking of parodies, some fun parodies.
Yeah, these are some parodies of the Mac versus PC commercials that are out there and which are absolutely hilarious. So this one is from some Canadians who have done this, and I think they've done 4 different commercials. And if we have a sec, we can
Let me play one. This is Mac PC for Music.
Oh, you know
I'm
what?
A Mac.
And I'm a PC. What are you listening to?
Oh, it's this amazing new band.
Oh, can I hear it?
Oh, no. No.
Why won't you share?
No. All right, you can listen. For a buck.
Oh, so they're kind of are they kind of anti Mac? Is that the idea? Let me play another one because
I'm a
sure.
PC, and as you can see, Mac is running a bit behind schedule.
Sorry, I'm late. Was up all night building a website for my cat.
Yeah.
We have a meeting at the client's in 15 minutes.
That was today.
This is pretty good.
Are you high? Leftover.
Okay. So it's kind of it's just saying that Mac users are kind of slackers. Maybe yeah. they're insinuating that they're maybe potheads or yeah. people who are a little more laid back. But they're so well done.
The hilarious. Music even sounds the same. I don't know where they got the music.
I don't know. It sounds a lot like the music in the commercial. So it's good fun. The other link I wanted to mention, Leon, because I don't want us to run out of time for this one because it's one of my favorites. This is 23 signs that you're becoming a design geek.
Speaking and, as, since you are a design geek.
A little bit. But this is great for any designers, any web people out there who have a design background. And so it's a list of 23 warning signs that say you're definitely becoming a design geek. This is one of my favorites, which says you're in the sun and you look around for a drop shadow to sit under, which is totally hilarious. Let's see. There's a few more as well. You spent $200 on a font for your personal website because it's the only one where the lowercase g is just right, and it goes on and on. You giggle whenever you use the colors F0CCED. It's just too funny. But if you've ever been in any type of design, you'll laugh your head off because there's a lot of good tips on this list.
I'm gonna tell you the truth. The number one sign you're becoming a design geek, you laugh at this list.
I know, it's true. It's
because
great though.
It's pretty much design geek jokes.
It really is. It's from Crestock.com, CRESTOCK.com. And you're right, Leo, this is kind of inside baseball. So for anyone who is a big geek, you have to go and check that out.
Hey, it got 2,000 digs. I mean, it's not exactly, minor. Let's call Jimmy Wales, shall we?
Let's do it.
You ready to do it? Jimmy, of course, is the founder of Wikipedia and is just a really great guy, and he is on the line now from, I think, from his home. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, how are you?
We're great. Amber MacArthur.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you doing?
Hi, Amber.
Nice to meet you in sort of like this.
Sort of like this?
You were just in the Bay Area. In fact, I really regret that I didn't make it to your pub crawl.
Yes, it was complete and total madness. You should have come.
Well, I would have had I been able to break away. And the only reason I knew you were doing it is because you're on Twitter and I'm following you every step of the way.
Yeah, you're the last person who made it in before I closed my Twitter feed. Too many people were watching me.
How many people do you have watching you?
I think it was getting up to like 70 or 80. And so, but you can set it so that the only people who can see what you say are people that you've friended back.
Ah.
So that's like a lot less freaky.
I wish I'd known that. I have 1,200 people following me on Twitter now.
Oh, lovely.
Jimmy, you went back home, though, after that party. Where is home for you?
I live in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Ah, how nice. I guess you could live anywhere you want.
Yeah, I guess.
It seems like you do a lot of traveling around, though, because every time I seem to check out any websites that are talking about you, it seems you're off somewhere speaking.
Oh, yeah. I travel about half the time all over the world, and I'm actually, at the end of this month, I'm spending a week traveling around in India, and then I'm going to be in Japan for a full month, the entire month of March. So,
what are you doing in Japan?
You know, sit and type. That's what I always do.
I'm
just basically there to visit the Japanese wiki community, do a lot of interviews, basically promote Wikia, promote Wikipedia, just the usual sort of thing.
So you're
speaking
still
at conferences.
You're still fully involved with Wikipedia. That's still your
primary
focus.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I don't know. Primary focus. It's kind of hard to sort out. How to characterize or categorize most of what I do. But yeah, I'm very involved on a day-to-day basis, particularly with the English Wikipedia community.
Could you talk a little bit about Wikia? Because I know obviously everybody knows Wikipedia and wants to talk about it. But with Wikia, what exactly is that?
Well, the basic idea of Wikia is if you think about Wikipedia as being an encyclopedia, Wikia is everything else in the library, the magazine rack. It's basically every possible thing that people might come together to collaborate on. So we've got more than 2,000 communities building all kinds of works from like Uncyclopedia, which is a parody of Wikipedia. We've got people doing travel stuff. It's all over the map.
Uncyclopedia is a parody of Wikipedia. Can you? It's kind of interesting that Wikipedia would be involved in parodying itself.
Well, Wikipedia is not involved. This is a Wikia project. Wikia is a separate company. Uncyclopedia, it's a fabulous site. It's really hysterical. So it's basically, it's not just a parody of Wikipedia. It's just a general humorous encyclopedia about everything. And I highly recommend it. It's really funny.
It's very funny. There was some talk. In fact, one of the principals at Wikipedia was maybe misquoted as saying that finances were a little tight and it might not be able to continue much longer. What's the story there?
It's a complete fiasco. Basically, it's the press has gone completely insane. I'm enjoying every minute of it because I've been on the, in the hot seat for a long time, and I've had many, many news stories that just were completely ludicrous based on some random remark I made. And so now Florence, who is now the chair of the board, is enjoying that little part of the internet lifestyle. So basically what happened at a conference in Paris, she made a very reasonable comment that basically said, we just finished a fund drive. We have several months of money in the bank, but we have to continue raising money. People shouldn't assume that, because we raised $1 million, we're set forever. We'll go through that money pretty quickly. And so if we don't continue to be able to raise money, if we don't continue to be creative about getting donations, then it's not impossible that Wikipedia could disappear. That's basically what she said. This was taken by the press to mean Wikipedia will shut down in 4 months, or that there's some sort of a desperate crisis.
It's no more of a desperate crisis than usual.
No, exactly. Exactly. We've been in a constant state of, looking to a few months out always to raise more money, to buy more servers so that we can keep up with the traffic.
How much does it cost to run Wikipedia?
Well, last year we spent about $1 million total, and that's almost completely for servers and bandwidth. There are some salaries. We've got 5 employees, a couple of programmers, executive director, grants director, and someone who answers the phone, and a few part-time employees. Oh, actually 6 employees. We also have the network engineer. But the bulk of the money goes to servers and bandwidth. It was about $1 million last year. We are expecting probably $2 to $3 million this year, depending on what assumptions we make about traffic growth and things like that.
How did you guys do with the donations and with the campaign you've been doing online for a while?
Quite well. I mean, we raised $1 million. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but it was right at $1 million. So if we do that, a couple, 2, 3, 4 more times this year, we should be able to make it through the year just fine.
Considering what a major global resource Wikipedia is, in fact, at the beginning of the show, Amber and I were talking about it, is in many cases the first place we go to research anything. $1 million a year, or 2 or 3, is nothing. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket. Have you ever considered, I don't know, other funding sources, a way to keep it going? I mean, it seems like this is such a valuable asset.
Well, there's always been the question raised again and again about putting ads on Wikipedia. It's something that I'm personally opposed to. The bulk of the community is opposed to it. It always is an option if things got really dire, but that is not something I would ever expect to have happen.
Well, I wouldn't want you to take ads either, but I mean, couldn't you go to Bill Gates or somebody and say, give us $1 billion or give us an annuity? And I mean, for crying out loud, it's such a valuable resource. Surely there's somebody out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly in the most recent fund drive, for the first time, we did have some matching gifts from some wealthy people, and that's an avenue that we're pursuing. We haven't set the date of our next fund drive, but it's possibly March or April. That's not an announcement. That's just sort of what we've been looking at, thinking about when to have it. And for that, we're going to have lined up some major donors as to give matching gifts. So yeah, we're doing that, and we're doing a much better job of that than we used to. You know, back when we were small, we were so busy working on building the site and doing whatever that we never really pursued those kinds of big picture funding. There is, of course, something really nice about the fact that we've always managed to raise our money from the general public in small donations, because that means that the community has a real independence. I mean, we're not dependent on any one person or any one donor who might twist our arms to do things in a different way, and we really, really like that.
So maybe we could step back a little bit and talk about how you started Wikipedia, where you got the inspiration, because I'm fascinated with the site, and I would love to hear just what it was like the very beginning when you came up with the idea.
Well, the first concept to have a freely licensed encyclopedia in every language of the world written by volunteers first came about in 1999, which is, you know, Wikipedia didn't start until 2001. And basically was inspired by the free software movement. So looking at Linux and Apache, PHP, you know, all of the software that really runs the internet is free software, largely written by volunteers or by people who are contributing for whatever reason. And everything under a free license, which is just the same as Wikipedia. And I thought that's a really interesting social model for allowing people to collaborate, and it should be possible to do something beyond that, you know, in particular the encyclopedia. So I had launched a project to do that called Newpedia, and that was a failure. It was designed by a PhD in philosophy who created a very academic top-down system. And, you know, that was really not very fun. I mean, it was very serious and very, you know, seven-stage review process and so forth. Later, we discovered the wiki editing concept, which had been invented by Ward Cunningham back in 1995, and, you know, put the two concepts together, and that really took off quickly.
It's amazing. 5 years old. I mean, that's amazing.
I know, it's so amazing. And how did you know, sort of, you know, in your gut that the concept of, you know, a bunch of people editing this together, how did you know that this would actually work?
I have no idea. It's completely demented, is it not?
It does. On the face of it, doesn't look like it would work at all.
I know, you wouldn't think it would, but it works very well.
Yeah, it's completely insane. This is why I have some confidence in my search engine project, because there's lots and lots of people out there saying, you know, all the good reasons why it can't work, and so I think, oh, okay, well, that sounds familiar. I'll just do it anyway. I don't care.
Tell us about that. What's that all about?
So basically, just recently we've launched at Wikia, we've launched search.wikia.com, where we're basically bringing people together to talk about how to build a completely transparent open source search engine, where all the algorithms are published. It's all free software. And basically have a very strong amount of community control, try to have a really broad public community involved in, you know, ranking URLs and basically, you know, tweaking the search engine algorithms and modifying the site in a very wiki-like way.
Is this in response to the power that Google wields now? I mean...
To some extent. I mean, it is to some extent a political statement, or what I always call is a small p political statement, in the sense that I think that search is a fundamental part of the infrastructure of the internet. It should be transparent. It should be open source software. It should be like Wikipedia is, you know, this resource that's controlled by the community. To me, that kind of thing is really important for an open society. So that's... absolutely.
And how do you see Wikipedia, just to switch back to Wikipedia for a second, but where do you see it sort of 5 years down the road? Do you think it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and becoming more of a, you know, kind of the number one resource for people to go to get information on the web?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will be a lot bigger. I do think, you know, we're going to be introducing sometime soon, once the software is done, some new concepts of stable versions of articles, so that the community has some new tools to identify our best work and present the best work to the public in certain cases. And then I'm really interested in, and a big part of the reason I travel so much, is the growth of Wikipedia in the languages of the developing world. So we're now in, I think, 128 languages have at least 1,000 articles. And that's, you know, 1,000 articles isn't much of an encyclopedia, but it's a good start, and that's normally where there's a community. What's really exciting to me is to see, for example, several of the languages of India are growing, 10% a month, and are really starting to get some traction in terms of having a good community and really start building the project with 20, 30, 50,000 articles will be coming soon. That's really exciting to me, and that's something that I think is really quite remarkable.
And you even have Esperanto, which is remarkable.
We do.
Yeah,
that's actually one of the larger languages in Wikipedia, one of the older ones. But it totally makes sense when you step back and think about it. Wikipedia, of course, has always been very, very strong in geek culture, and Esperanto is kind of a geek phenomenon. Also, the Esperanto ideology of global communication really resonates well with the idea of Wikipedia.
Right.
And it is a community of people who are really passionate about keeping that language alive and thriving. So it's really a perfect fit. And so even though it's a small number of people, they've really taken to it. And I don't know this for certain. I'm only guessing, but I'm guessing that the Esperanto Wikipedia is the largest single body of Esperanto text anywhere. So.
Yeah. I also like the other projects, the sister project, like WikiSpecies, which I think is fascinating. WikiNews, which is turning out to be very useful. WikiQuote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just all makes sense.
Yeah, it's all cool stuff. I mean, different projects have struggled in different ways with the software. I mean, the software development has always been driven primarily by the needs of Wikipedia. And, now this is one of the things I'm excited about the for-profit company is that for the first time we've got, instead of a handful of developers and a lot of volunteers, we actually have we'll have 20 to 30 soon full-time developers working on the software, extending it in various ways that other communities will be able to make use of. So I think some of those projects are going to really get a boost as we keep improving the software.
I'm curious, just because I work all day in a daily newsroom and television, and there are people. There's kind of mixed feelings in the newsroom in terms of using Wikipedia. I use it all the time to get information and kind of as a jumping off point to get other information and links to articles and other resources. What are your feelings about those people who say, "Oh, Wikipedia can't be trusted"?
Well, you know, I think people do need to approach Wikipedia with some understanding of where it comes from and how to use it. Certainly. If you're a regular user of Wikipedia and you've tested it against your other knowledge and against other sources, most people will report it's actually really pretty good overall. At the same time, because it is live editing and anything can be changed at any time, you do have to be a little bit cautious. If you read something a little crazy or suspicious, you should always check it out. And there's a lot of techniques, as an advanced user, you can look in the history, you can look at the discussion page, see if some point has been debated, check the references at the bottom. You can always tag something. If it sounds suspicious to you, tag it with a tag that says, this fact needs a cite or something.
For all the attention that the big ones have garnered, like the Kennedy thing and so forth, I have to say Wikipedia is remarkably useful and effective and accurate. I don't see inaccuracies very often at all.
Yeah, so one of the interesting things that happened, there was some news over the past few days about the entry on Anna Nicole Smith being vandalized. She died, it was announced, and then the article was edited quite a bit. I went through it. It was actually a very small number of times when it was vandalized and corrected very quickly, of course. But the media, immediately goes trolling looking for some vandalism in Wikipedia. And, one of the stories that came out said, well, this shows the dangers of the new media that, people can vandalize things. And what I thought was...
loves those stories, don't they?
Oh, they love those stories. And I wanted to respond, no, this actually shows how much the old media is completely on crack that anybody even cares about Anna Nicole Smith. It's like, why? If there was a peace agreement in the Middle East, no one would call me. Anna Nicole Smith dies, right. I get 20 phone calls from the media. And it's
exactly.
Like, somebody's priorities are a little wrong,
Exactly. So, Amber, you, I know, asked for questions on your blog for Jimmy.
Yeah, actually, one of the questions someone had wanted me to ask you is, what do you think about all the attention that Wikipedia gets in the Colbert Report?
Oh, it's very funny, and I'm going to have to go on there because he called me out by name now. So, it's on.
That's cool.
It's on.
That's cool. I
love to see that.
What does he say? What is going on?
And actually, Amber, you're in trouble too because of your blog. You called me Mr. Wales.
Mr.
Wales is my
Do you like Jimmy or Jimbo? Which do you want?
Either is fine. Jimmy normally in the press, but Jimbo online. But
okay,
anyway.
So I'm going to change it right now. Whoa, I don't want to be in trouble with you. I'm changing it as we speak.
Jimbo.
You know what it is? It's that until I've met someone, I kind of don't like calling them by their first name. So I guess I will stop doing that.
It's that New York Times thing in her blood. She can't stop it.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm so old media. Definitely not. Oh, well, I would love to see you on the show with him. That would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It would be really good because a couple of things I've seen him do in the past. He likes to pull out his Time 100 award. And then I've also seen him pull out his honorary doctorate. And the funny thing is, I got an honorary doctorate from the same school. I met him a couple times, and the two times I met him were at the Time 100 party and at Knox College. So we have the same, thing. So, I want to go on and let him whip those things out on me, and I'll whip mine out, and then we'll fight or something. I don't know.
Oh, well, you have to let us know when that's happening. Yeah, I have a few other questions actually on my blog as well, so I'm just going to look down and find some of those because quite a few people wrote in and are interested in mostly how Wikipedia started, but also about how many employees there are, how you guys make money, and I think we covered a lot of that stuff. One person had this question, which is, how do you feel about changing your own Wikipedia entries?
Yeah, so it's something that I've done, and it's kind of an interesting thing because when I edited my own biography, I did it, very openly and publicly under my own name. Within the community, it was really considered no big deal. But then the media, of course, got wind of it, and they thought that was quite scandalous and interesting, So it keeps getting repeated over and over that I got caught editing my own entry, which I think is sort of funny. I did it very publicly, so it's kind of hard to catch me doing it. But in general, it's something that I would recommend against, and we've become much much more active in really recommending that people not do that. It can be a very, emotionally unhappy experience for most people, just because, you're writing about yourself. It's really hard to be unbiased. And if there's negative information that you might admit or agree, there is this controversy. It does need to be in there. That doesn't make it easy to write about in a neutral way for yourself. So mostly people should go to the talk page and post a complaint or something.
Yeah, that's probably what I should have done. There was an error of fact in mine. They said I wrote an article for Hustler, so I just deleted that. But I probably should have done the same thing.
Well, so that can be fine, right? If it's a simple error of fact and all you're doing is correcting the record, that can be fine. Although even there, we sort of discourage it just because there is this – there's the possibility. I mean, one of the reasons I mainly discourage it is just from my own experience. If somebody who doesn't like you gets a hold of it, they're going to write about it and make you sound like you're on crack.
Well, I ain't going to do it again after what happened to poor Adam Curry. I am not going anywhere near.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, in fact, Amber, there's an error in Amber's entry, and she just leaves it. She hasn't touched it.
Well, other thing people do is complain to me, and then I just go in and try to fix it. So.
Yeah, it's funny because I've had a couple of people have asked me, they have entries on Wikipedia, and they've asked me, hey, what do I do about them getting changed? And usually I tell them just to relax and wait. Just give it, 24 hours, maybe 48 hours. And I find usually it's amazing that the community kind of just manages it and gets it, corrects it, and gets it back to what it should be quite quickly.
Yeah, relax and wait's always good. And the other thing is just post a message on the talk page and say, I didn't write an article for Hustler.
Yeah,
that's what I'll
exactly.
do. From now on, I promise.
Leo, I hope no one's going there right now. Jimmy, I just want you to know that I changed Mr. Wales to Jimmy on my blog right now, so I apologize for
much
that.
Better.
I feel better now too. I have one question, and this is something that someone emailed me, but they wanted to know about the whole Microsoft issue with the with them possibly paying people to go in and change Wikipedia edits. What is your feedback on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we were disappointed to hear that they had done that, but we didn't really think it was that big of a deal. And, of course, it was another one of these cases where something comes up. It's a fabulous story for the press because, ooh, Wikipedia versus Microsoft, it's like a David and Goliath story. Of course, with Wikipedia is the Goliath now, but I met Bill Gates a couple weeks ago, and we chatted about it, and we both agreed that it was, a tempest in a teapot. So.
Jim, you're moving in some pretty highfalutin circles now, I tell you.
I know. You got to take us along with you.
I mentioned it to Bill, and he said it's okay. That's great. I mean, wow. You
know. Yeah, that was good.
Right. Do you have some more questions, Amber, or should we take some calls?
I think we covered a lot of them. I think maybe it would be fun to take some calls if you're okay with that, Jimmy.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So this is live streaming on TalkShoe, and that's how we do it. And we have quite a few callers in here. Now, I'm hoping that they'll all have calls for you. Sometimes they're a little random, and we'll just see what happens. You never know what's going to happen. Starting with Keaton, who is next in our queue. Keaton, welcome to Net at Night. Hello, Keaton. That's the other thing that sometimes happens. Keaton's, I've been chatting with him. He said he wanted to be on. All right, let's take the next person. Deus Twilight. Hello, Deus Twilight. Welcome to Net at Night. Technology, it's remarkable. Myth, you're next. Welcome to Net at Night.
Yes, I'm here, Will.
Hey, Myth. Thank you for being there.
It was a hard effort, but I thought it was worth it.
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, I've got some links. I've got some questions.
What I'd like right now, since we've got a chance to talk to Jimmy Wales, I mean, that's a rare opportunity. I'd love to get questions about Wikipedia or about for Jimmy. First of all,
I do have one.
Yeah, before we go any farther, I forget to say this, but your name and your real name and your location.
It's David from Salem, Oregon.
All right. Go ahead, David.
Well, what I'm most fascinated with is what is the most critical part of the many things they do to keep a wiki from melting down, from vandalism, etc.? What philosophically or psychologically do we think is kind of key to that?
Yeah, so I think there's I don't know if there's any one thing that we could identify, but I think a lot of it has to do with assume good faith, assume that people are basically trying to do good so that you don't get into a combative relationship with newcomers who are simply making a mistake. Very often when somebody comes in and starts vandalizing, a kind word to say, you know, come on, we're trying to do something useful here, knock it off. It works surprisingly often, not always. And so then the other big thing is really making sure that the community has the tools that they need to be able to block people who are doing something bad. So.
Would you say that you are kind of a utopian kind of guy? I mean, this is a very utopian vision. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, yes, but I don't think of it as utopian. I think of it, you know, I'm optimistic, but. You know, if I was too insanely optimistic, we would have never had the ability to block people from editing, which we do. So, I think it's really about for me, the balance we try to achieve is a lot like the balance that you want out of good government. You want transparency, you want somebody to lock up the muggers and thieves and rapists, but you also want to have very open environment for discussion, debate, dissent, as long as it remains reasonable. So it's striking a balance that says, you know, you have a right to be here, you have a right to participate, you don't have a right to wreck it for other people.
It's remarkable at how well it works, I have to say. And, you know, you say that, well, it's just what you're trying to do with good government. You're doing it. There are very few governments who are actually achieving your level of success.
That's for sure, yeah.
Keaton is actually on the line. I picked up the wrong line. Let's see if we can get Keaton back on here. Hello, now I've done it again. Let me mute everybody and try again. Keaton, now you're on. Welcome to Net at Night.
Yep, hello.
Hey, you got a question for Jimbo.
Hi, Keaton.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, why doesn't Wikipedia just take ads to get money?
Well, we don't really feel like we need ads in order to survive. We like being ad-free. There's always the concern that people's perception of our integrity and perception of who's controlling the content could be negatively affected. I mean, right now when you go to Wikipedia, you know that the people who are writing it are the community members and that they fully control it and they're not being swayed by ad money or anything like that. I think that's pretty important. And we also want to explore other means of getting revenue. So we're looking at things like, for example, we've done DVD sales in Germany that went very well. We're looking at using, you know, taking the brand into things like trivia game to sell in stores, maybe a TV show. There's a lot of other things that we can do to get money that keeps the Wikipedia concept very pure and simple and really makes people very happy. We like making people very happy. So
it's really remarkable. I have to say, I mean, has anybody ever approached you saying we would like to kind of figure out, you know, so much now about building community, about what works, what doesn't work, how laissez-faire to be, how when you have to buckle down. Has anybody ever approached you saying, can we codify this and use this in other communities?
Yeah, I mean, people talk about it a lot. It's a lot of really deep knowledge. I mean, this is in Wikia, my for-profit company, we believe this is our real competitive edge over other people who are doing wiki hosting. This idea of it's not really about the software, it's about the people, it's about helping people find resolution to problems and being supportive and loving, while at the same time being firm with people who are trying to disrupt things. I mean, that's really what it's all about.
Well, as anybody who's tried to whether it's a forum or, I mean, I run forums, several forums, I run a wiki. As anybody's ever tried this, this is a very difficult balance to strike, and you've done an amazing thing, really.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I do think that is a very deep knowledge that you have on how community works.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really a it's really that knowledge doesn't come from me so much. I mean, I have something to do with it, but it's really the community.
Well, and it's experiential. I mean, it's not
a theory. Experiential.
It's something that you've done and it works.
Yeah, and it's really a long-term project of you know, learning, experimenting, trying things. So,
how big is the community? How many people do you estimate are active in Wikipedia?
So it's really hard to actually come up with a really specific answer for that, because you know, what does it mean to be involved? What does it mean to be a member of the community? So there's several thousand people who make at least 100 edits a month. That's one of the numbers that we can use. And if you're making 100 edits a month, you're probably known, at least in parts of the community. There's probably, I would say, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 people who are the real the heart of Wikipedia, the really hardcore editors who are monitoring things and doing things, you know, constantly. That's really what makes it work.
I know there's one guy from Ottawa, Canada, and I'm in Toronto, which is just about a 5-hour drive from Ottawa, that he says he has 80,000 articles under his belt. His name is Simon Pulsifer. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but
yeah, I know him.
Really interesting. Yeah, so I guess he I don't know how many articles a day he edits, but I'm guessing it's in the thousands, possibly.
Yeah. No, he's a very prolific editor. Does an enormous amount of work.
What is your sense of why people do that?
So it varies for different people, and different people do different jobs within Wikipedia according to their taste. But it really always boils down to two things. It boils down to, in part, the charitable motive and the idea that we're really doing something big and important for the world. But that only gets you, you know, excited, and it gets you through a few you know, rough arguments where you decide you'll put that aside because we actually have something more important to worry about. The most important thing, though, is that it's fun. Just the fact that you can come in, meet other smart people who are interested in what you're interested in, get into interesting dialogues and debates that are hopefully a little less contentious and flame war-ish than most places on the internet, and really kind of seek the truth. And I think people really enjoy that.
That's one thing I find so interesting, because just from sort of being in more mainstream media, but also working, you know, online and in new media, is that I think mainstream media has this preconceived notion that everything that happens online is evil, and there aren't people doing good, and they're out to, you know, scam you and spam you and do all these things. And then you see that they just cannot believe that something like Wikipedia works as a community of people who come there and they want to kind of reach this sort of greater good, where they actually are sharing information that's true and accurate and up to date and all of that.
Yeah, no, it's a really funny thing, and I think that will start to change over time. I actually am a believer that a lot of the reputation that the internet has as a hostile and dangerous place has come from badly designed software, that we're really only starting to learn how to build software that respects human beings as human beings and doesn't sort of naturally lead people into combative postures. So my classic example for this is like unmoderated Usenet groups, which just got overrun with trolls and spammers and so on. And the community, the good community, had no means of controlling it.
Right.
I mean, there was a sort of a radical free speechness about it that was very appealing in the early days, but it broke down very quickly because you couldn't get rid of a problem person, no matter what, even if it was they were disturbing what you're trying to work on. There are problems too then. So you say, well, that doesn't work, so let's move to a totally moderated system. Well, that doesn't work very well either because, well, the moderator gets bored or is slow, or maybe the moderator's a tyrant, you know? So I think we're just starting to learn how to do, you know, mass collaborative things with this kind of balance of powers. And it's really a social design problem more than a software design problem. But the software design, if done wrong, can totally destroy any possibility of having a community.
How careful are you of the current Wikimedia code base? I mean, is it kind of set in stone now, or are you constantly looking at new things, or are you looking at
constantly looking at new things, but we are, I think so at Wikipedia, we're very conservative about moving the software forward in ways that might impact how the community functions, because we like how it functions now, and we're very sensitive to changes in a really large community base could really disrupt things. At Wikia, where we've got 2,500 communities with many wildly different aims and motivations, and small communities, large communities, we have the opportunity to be a lot more experimental, so we're trying a lot of new things there. Just to say, well, look, if you're making an encyclopedia, that's one thing. If you're making the ultimate guide to the Muppets, that's a different thing. The tools you need, the social rules involved, all of those things can be a lot more experimental. And so we're really putting a lot of effort into designing, you know, the next generation of what Wiki will look like.
Are you talking about the, I think it's the Muppets, there's a Wikipedia entry, or there's a, I think I've been there before, which is sad to say, but it's quite elaborate.
The Muppet Wiki.
If you go to muppet.wikia.com is what I'm talking
about. Okay, that's where it is, yeah.
It's truly astounding. So in Wikipedia, there's probably 300 or so articles about the Muppets. In the Muppet Wiki, they've got 13,250 articles about the Muppets.
That's, you know what, this is exactly where, as for some reason, I ended up here one day, and I could not believe it. I was floored at the number, the amount of information.
Just the fact that this site exists on this planet makes me insanely happy.
Yeah.
I love the Muppets Wiki because they have all kinds of things in there that you wouldn't even imagine. One of my favorite entries is on Itzhak Perlman, the violinist. And so he's a very famous violinist, and his Wikipedia entry is all about his career. In the Muppets Wikia site, it's all about the time he came on Sesame Street. It's just – this makes me so happy. I love these guys. It's one of the best communities we have too, because they really take a great attitude towards greeting new people, getting them involved. They keep it very – they run a tight ship. You know, they're really, really pretty firm about banning people who are trying to cause trouble. Why would you be flaming anybody? I mean, it's a Muppets Wiki. Come on, you know? It's a friendly activity, right? There's just no excuse for a deep political war on the Muppets Wiki. So it's just a lovely community.
Really is. And my brother is a huge fan of the Muppets, so I think that's why I ended up here one day. But
it's great. I love it.
I love it. I would have to agree with you. It's just amazing that this can exist in such a level of detail, which is what is so great about sites like this.
One of my interns is a sophomore in high school, and he actually asks how you would recommend convincing schools to accept Wikipedia as a trusted source. In fact, he proposed it. He cited Wikipedia in a paper and it got shot down, and I think this happens quite frequently.
Yeah, so, well, in general, the advice I would give to students is be careful how you use Wikipedia. It really isn't a trusted source. It really is edited real time, and it could be full of mistakes, and that really isn't the right role for an encyclopedia in the educational process. I think it basically should be fine in schools. It should be acceptable to, add a footnote saying, you know, I did a lot of my preliminary research in Wikipedia just to sort of acknowledge where you got a lot of knowledge. But in terms of citing specific facts, you really should go to the sources and look it up there, because that's, you know, that's what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, an encyclopedia is supposed to give you the broad overview, not be a primary research tool.
That's what I actually told my kids. I said, it's a starting point. You can start there and follow leads.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I would say the same thing about Britannica, by the way. I mean, one of the interesting things, having worked on the encyclopedia so hard and having really investigated this question, there are tons of errors in Britannica. And that's, I say that with the deepest respect for Britannica. It's a fabulous resource. But it's just the very nature of research that there will be mistakes, there will be errors. And so you always need to check, one level deeper.
Yeah. Let's take some more calls, shall we? Moving on to Kurt. Kurt, you're next on Net at Night. Hello, Kurt. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, you got a question for Jimmy?
Yes, I was wondering, what difficulties did he have starting Wikipedia? Any major problems?
No, it was totally simple.
Oh, please.
Don't say that.
So in terms of starting, I mean, one of the interesting things is that there was no money. There was very little money to start. And so we did struggle in the early days.
You kind of self-funded it yourself? Or?
So my old company funded it for a while. And then I basically devoted several years of my life full-time to working on it without a salary. So that was my primary funding of it. I think some of the hardest things were, you know, one example was when we had a big fork with the Spanish community, and half the Spanish community left and started a separate project, and really kind of feeling at that point that the whole thing might break down, that the social structure, and I learned a lot from that episode, and that was really one of the tough times for me, is figuring out, what did I do wrong? How did I lose half this community? What can I do to make it better? So that was kind of a hard time. But other than that, you know, it's just sort of, it's constantly difficult, but I can't think of any particular thing that stood out as especially difficult.
It's just a lot of work.
A lot of work. What kind of hours were you pulling in, and are you still pulling?
Oh, I can't even tell you. I don't even know. I mean, a lot of what I'm doing is, it's just part of my lifestyle, right? And so, I mean, do I consider what I'm doing right now working? Well, I guess it is technically, but I'm actually just hanging out, chatting with some people and making jokes. So it's pretty easy work. But
we don't think what we do is work either. So
we're with you.
So I roll out of bed and I start checking email until I go to sleep at night, and I'm online pretty much all the time, traveling all over the world all the time. But I mean, some of it doesn't feel like work, and some of it does. So
how do you deal with all your email?
We ask everybody this, by the way, Jimmy, because we're having issues ourselves.
I got to tell you, it's a complete disaster.
Yeah,
it's a total fiasco. There was a funny incident recently. Now I'm going to sound like a horrible name dropper, but it's a true story. Bono, through a mutual friend,
Whoa.
Was complaining that I wasn't answering his emails. And the reason was they were so buried in my inbox that I couldn't find them. So I was like, oh, geez, I'm 2 weeks behind on my email with Bono. That's pretty pathetic.
I guess if you tell people, you know, I didn't even return Bono's email, that kind of takes some of the sting
exactly.
out. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. If I'm 2 weeks late responding to you, don't worry. You're in good company.
You're very, very, very good company.
Yeah, I don't think that'll fly with the people who are looking for me.
No, you know, I just think spam is a complete disaster, and I think it's not getting any better. It's getting worse for me. And in fact, I've noticed recently there's a whole new category of spam that I've just noticed in the last 2 weeks that looks like a much more intelligent way of defeating the Bayesian filters, because it's perfectly reasonable sounding sentences, except it doesn't make a bit of sense.
Right.
And it seems to be more on topics that are almost customized for me. So I see this sort of random set of sentences that seems to be about conferences and the internet and social networks. And, you know, I can see a computer program would look at this and go, it looks like it might be email for him.
Yeah.
But then when I look at it, it's total nonsense. And I don't even understand what the point is. Like, I can't even find where the ad is or what it is they want me to do. It's just like random nonsense, or maybe just a lot of crazy people are writing.
Yeah. what email do email
it's from Bono, I think. I may be wrong.
I'm using Thunderbird, which okay. for a couple of years now, I felt that the spam filtering was quite excellent. I mean, I still get a lot of spam, but
it's
I get
very hard
so
for
much,
Bayesian filters you know? To work on that stuff. It just can't, you know.
Yeah, it just is really quite difficult.
So. We're out of time, Jimmy. I thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's wonderful to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And
it was a lot of fun.
Just, I can't thank you enough for making Wikipedia. It is perhaps the single most mind-bogglingly useful thing on the internet, which is already the most useful thing in the world. So you're doing
Yay.
Pretty well.
All right, cool. All right. Thanks for having
thanks,
me.
Thanks, Jimmy. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Jimbo
okay,
Wales, take care. Have a good night. And wow, it was just it's just so great to get to talk to him and to talk about what is truly a useful thing.
I honestly don't know what I would do without Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I really consider that I can live without YouTube. I can live without a lot of things, but I can't live without Wikipedia. There's no way.
I'm excited by his search project too, because I think Google's a little scary at this point. And I'd love to see somebody challenge him.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, he's done just an amazing job, and I hope it continues to be as good as it is.
Amber, we're out of time, but we'll be back next Sunday talking about some more links. Maybe we'll have another great guest. Maybe we'll just take a bunch of calls. You never know what you're going to hear every Sunday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 0200 Greenwich Mean Time. Shall we say goodnight to the listeners as...
I think we should open up the lines and let the psycho movie begin.
9/11.
Good night, Amber.
Good night, Liam.
Amber.
Good night.
Amber.
Hey.
Good night.